It's the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be podsmacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Episode 179 of the Rob Carson Show podcast. If you are downloading this on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, Google Play, Google Plus, your hairdryer. I think it's coming in your hairdryer. Not even sure about that. But anyway, welcome to the show. Recording this on the third day of October 2017. Want to welcome Liberty One TV viewers. Hello. How you doing today? Glad to have you alongside. We've got much to get to on the show, but I do want to remind you, if you you want to become a member of Liberty One TV, it's $10 a month, okay? You are helping some terrific shows out, Intellectual Frog Legs with Joe Dan Gorman, Cop Talk with Dominic Izzo, my show, it's called The Rob Carson Show, hosted by me, Rob Carson, Common Sense Conservative, all sorts of these shows. It is a wonderful venue. We have more freedom in broadcasting and podcasting than we have since the beginning of radio in the 1920s. Annual subscription, $99. Then you get the Producers Club, which is $1,000 a year, which includes a producer credit on all of the shows, all right? So if you have a business, it's a pretty darn cheap way to reach a lot of people. All right, so sign up, $10 a month, $99 a year, or Producers Club, $1,000 a year, which is peanuts when you consider advertising budgets. Sign up, and if you wouldn't mind, would you share on social media too? Want to make this thing work. And I know it's going to. Also want to thank my sponsors. One of them is, of course, Dr. Alex Nelson. He is with fountainoflifecairo.com. You can see their website right there on my page, fountainoflifecairo.com. If you're in Kansas City, you've got back pain, allergies, asthma, carpal tunnel, neuropathy, all sorts of ills. He could take care of a lot of them. I'm telling you, Cairo has done marvelous things for my lower back, my sciatica. $30 veterans and veterans family adjustment fees. If you ever had a back adjustment, it'll save your life. It's just terrific. Decompression for herniated low back discs, massage therapy, all of those things. 8335 North Congress Avenue, Kansas City. 816-741-4711. 816-741-4711, fountainoflifecairo.com. Okay. Much to get to on the show today. Obviously, Vegas is still top of the agenda, and I'm not going to start with a politicization of it. Easy for me to say, right? Okay. We'll talk a little bit about the shooter, what we know, and then get into some of the heroes, because I think pretty amazing things happen in Las Vegas. We think of Las Vegas as Sin City. We don't think of Las Vegas as a community that would come together like it did. And I was so impressed by the mayor, the governor of the state, the lieutenant governor of the state, the sheriff, Mr. Lombardo is amazing. Constant heroes, not only in the law enforcement community, first responders, hospital workers who are still working, doctors still working on people. Many people going to be in the hospital for a year. Some of them learning how to walk again. Some learning how to talk again. Millions of dollars being raised to help out. Lines outside of blood centers that you have to wait 3 hours to give blood. It's pretty cool. Couple of things we know about, and this doesn't make any sense, and it won't make any sense, guys. This will never make any sense. Stephen Paddock, nobody will ever understand why he did this, what he was up to. The thing that bothers me the most, and I'm not going to tread into the gun control thing too much here today. We're never going to be able to figure it out. There are no answers to this. There is no reason for this. Gambling debt. No, it's not a reason. His father was a psychopath, apparently. Does that have something to do with it? I don't know. A lot of things are genetic. He had 23 guns with him in his hotel room. It's a dual hotel room. Several rifles had scopes. At least one was fully automatic. 19 firearms, explosives, thousands of rounds of ammo. They found a bunch of stuff at his home. He did have explosives. He was going to do the ammonium nitrate thing. So I don't know where this came from, who he was mad at, what did he want to do. There was some speculation that he was suing Mandalay Bay. Actually, he tried to sue another hotel for a slip and fall accident a few years ago, and the judge threw it out. He was a multimillionaire. Real estate investor, really liked to gamble. He had four homes around the country. His girlfriend, Mary Lou Danley, 62, is in Tokyo right now. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. One thing I will mention, and there are going to be some changes at Mandalay Bay. There are going to be changes at hotels. They're going to be keeping a closer eye on what people who are going to stay there bring with them. But I'm going to tell you, it was completely legal for him to have all those guns in that hotel room. Could it have been a clue? Could housekeeping have said, man, he got a lot of guns up there. Just wanted you to know. Maybe you could make the getting to the hotel room faster if a shootout like this happens. Here's the thing. We don't know if this is going to happen again. This could be a one-time thing. I was reading an article. I think it was actually out of the UK Daily Mail. Sheriff Joseph Lombardo said, I don't know how we could have prevented it if we didn't have any prior knowledge of the individual. And they didn't. Banning outdoor events won't stop this kind of violence. Okay? The country has many public venues, and it's built on the premise of free assembly for whatever purpose, for political purposes, for religious purposes, or even just for amusement. As was the case here, according to Jim Pascoe, executive director of the Fraternal Order of Police, it's hard to say what more could have been done. It hasn't been done short of curtailing the American way of life, which I don't think is a particularly good idea. Major sporting events, you know this, you get your bag searched when you go into major sporting events. Big hotels have sophisticated security systems. You know, if you move into preventing any open area event, where does it end? Little league games, high school games, college sports, baseball practices for Congress people. You don't know when somebody's going to crack. Is gun control the way to do it? Well, it wouldn't have prevented what happened in Paris a couple years ago. Bataclan, remember that, Bataclan? It was a nightclub, and the Eagles of Death Metal were performing. 89 people were murdered. 352 injured. Okay? 89 people dead. There weren't enough armed people near to do anything. And these guys shot for a couple of hours. They brought in suicide belts. They carried assault rifles, which are illegal in Paris. Bad guys are going to get guns. And I mentioned this. Bad guys are going to use explosives. Pardon me. My hair looks really bad. There you go. Come on now. Like, not as though it's going to look very good anyway, but, you know, bad guys are going to use trucks. Bad guys are going to run over people. Bad guys are going to try to crash planes into buildings. Some succeeded, obviously. Could Mandalay Bay have done something different? Experts said there were few, if any, ways the staff could have detected the degree of danger. They're not paid for that. No criminal record, and it was perfectly legal for him to have those guns in the room. Okay. Unless hotels are going to start mandating luggage and room searches, there's nothing to stop someone from hiding weapons in a bag or closet or going undetected. Well, I don't know. We always lash out. Okay. When these things happen, we always look for answers, and we try to, I guess, to some degree, make sane something that is insane. Very, very, 0.2% of mass shootings take place with assault weapons. I heard that this morning. Most of the killings in this country are like what happens in, I don't know if you heard about this, there was another mass shooting. This time, 457 people dead. That, of course, will be updated. 2,390 people wounded. That's Chicago this year. That's Chicago. Now, this is spread over a year, so it's a slow roll. Children being killed, innocents being killed, gang members being killed, all of this stuff. It's a slow roll. But it is a mass shooting. But you see, some black lives don't matter. Some black lives don't matter. When it's a black person killed by a police officer, it matters. When it's a black person killed by another black person, it doesn't matter, you see. In inner cities around the country, and it's been going on generation after generation, but that doesn't matter because that doesn't get things done. A big event, a catastrophic event like this is used to forward an agenda, and that is to go after the Second Amendment. It is, I think, a cynical way to do this, because if you really believed in gun control, wouldn't you look at this, you know, keep a ticker of all the deaths in Chicago or Milwaukee or Baltimore and use it year round? But no, it's people using the emotion of the moment to forward an agenda. And it didn't take very long this time, and I'm thoroughly disgusted by it. But it's not unexpected. It's just not unexpected. Let me get into late night TV in a second. We do have some good things. I want to talk a little bit. Actually, I'll start yesterday with Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Sarah Huckabee Sanders had a presser yesterday. She got emotional. She talked about some of the victims yesterday and heroes. Here she is a little bit talking about some of the people who were involved.
One man, 29-year-old Sonny Melton, had traveled from Tennessee to Las Vegas for the concert with his wife, Heather. When the bullets began raining down from above, Sonny shielded her from danger, selflessly giving up his life to save hers. They'd been married for just over a year. Others risked their own lives to save people that they had never met. Mike McGarry of Philadelphia laid on top of students at the concert to protect them from the gunfire. They're 20, I'm 53, he said, and I've lived a good life. Lindsay Paget and her fiancé, Mike J., fled for cover during the attack and immediately returned to the scene with their pickup truck to help transport the wounded to nearby hospitals. Gail Davis, who was attending the concert with her husband, said she owes her life to a brave police officer who instinctively served as a human shield, protecting her from harm. Sadly, multiple police officers, both on duty and off duty, were among those killed or injured.
There was an enormous heroism there, not only by first responders, and the response was, by the way, breathtakingly amazing with the police and with the ambulance. Can you imagine running toward automatic gunfire? You didn't know where it is. That's the bravery you see on the battlefield. Here is what I thought was a beautiful quote, well said and well placed by Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
But what these people did for each other says far more about who we are as Americans than the cowardly acts of a killer ever could. The Gospel of John reminds us that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for a friend. The memory of those who displayed the ultimate expression of love in the midst of an unimaginable act of hate will never fade.
I thought it was very telling of her. This is a woman who has a very difficult job every single day. She's tough as nails. And yesterday she showed us that even those at the height of government can be moved tremendously by something like this. There was a young woman, I believe she's 21 years old, Addison Short. She was at the show. She was shot. And she was rescued. Here she is talking to Anderson Cooper from her hospital bed.
We were in the middle of the concert, and Jason Aldean came on, and he was probably two, maybe three songs in, and all we hear is just gunshots, and everyone just kind of, like, paused, because no one, like, people thought it was fireworks. And so then they just kept going off. So me and my friend turned around and started running, and she looked back and my knee gave out. And I was like, I just got shot. I can't run. And I was like, you go, just go get somewhere safe. And so I like dove under this like bar to get cover. And this guy helped me wrap my foot because it was just gushing out blood everywhere. And you just kept hearing gunshots, and they just weren't stopping. And so then we were like, we have to get out of here. And I couldn't get up and walk. So this guy, like, helped me walk over to get behind another cover. And this girl grabbed me and she was like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And I just wanted to get a hold of my mom. That she was the only person I wanted to talk to. And this guy grabbed my foot and he wrapped it tighter with a belt. And I was just like, please get me out of here. Like, please, I have to get out of here. And so he just picked me up and threw me over his shoulder and just ran me to a taxi and brought me here to the hospital.
She's not 21. She's 18 years old. Another amazing story. Another absolutely amazing story. I thought the soundbite of the day for me was a guy being interviewed, and I don't have the guy's name, a guy being interviewed on, I believe it was CNN, pardon me, on CNN, talking about the police. And he said that while many in this country are taking a knee, the police officers in Vegas stood up. And I thought that was a pretty amazing observation. Unfortunately, it didn't prevent a couple of Chiefs players from kneeling last night, despite the heroism of the police. They could have at least stood last night, but they didn't. We'll get to that later in the show. Not soon before the shooting began, Big and Rich, they're a country music act, and I actually kind of like them. I'm not a country music guy, but they sang God Bless America. Here's the sound from that.
Sing God bless America, man in that high road, stand beside him, and gather through the night with the light from above.
You know there were military members in this crowd. Look at all those hicks out there. Those hicks, those rednecks, those hillbillies. That's what one of the things that was really, really uncovered during this was not only the left's immediate use of something for political purposes with regard to gun control, but also their absolute hatred for Middle America, their hatred for anything in between the two coasts. I saw some tweets that were absolutely sickening. One CBS executive has been fired. CBS has parted ways with one of its top lawyers. And the reason being, Haley Geftman Gold was let go, was that she wrote on social media, if they wouldn't do anything when children were murdered, I have no hope that repugs will ever do the right thing. Oh, they also call them Trump tards. People who voted for Donald Trump are Trump tards. She also continued and said, I am actually not even sympathetic because country music fans are often Republican gun toters. She was let go. And that's the level of sympathy there is for this crowd because of who this crowd was composed of. By and large, probably Trump supporters, probably Second Amendment advocates. But I'm going to ask you this. Do you suppose that you would have seen this sort of heroism at any other event like this? There were people who, as people fell, were going over and plugging bullet holes with fingers. Who would do that? Most probably first responders or former military or active military. People came together. Now, it's enough. Don't get me wrong. It's a big deal when people respond to a hurricane and they drive their truck down and they save people, or they come in with the Cajun Brigade and they bring in boats and all that stuff. And that is great. Don't get me wrong. But it takes a special kind of person to do triage on somebody you don't know in an active shooter situation. To put people in your car and drive not knowing where the gunfire is coming, not knowing if you'd get hit. Oh, man, it takes a special kind of person. So as much as some people want to look down at country music listeners as hicks and rednecks and simpletons and Trump-tards, the best people you could ever meet, and if you were being shot at, I'd much rather have them there than anybody else. Professor George Ciccariello, politics professor at Drexel University, suggested the white supremacy patriarchy was to blame for the mass shooting. Okay, he said, this is what happens when white people don't get what they want. He said, it's the white supremacist patriarchy, stupid. But liberals will drown out all discourse with the deafening chorus screeching gun control. He said, white people and men, that's me, I'm public enemy number one, are told what they are entitled to, everything. This is what happens when they don't get their what they want. The narrative of white victimization has been gradually built over the past 40 years. This guy, a couple years ago, tweeted, all I want for Christmas is dead white people. A white genocide is what he said. He did that in 2016. You got to be filled with a special kind of hate to feel that way. I was very impressed with the leadership. Joseph Lombardo, the sheriff in Las Vegas, the mayor, the governor, the lieutenant governor yesterday paid tribute to heroes. I'm just going to go ahead and run this. Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison, I should say.
Thank you. I'm Mark Hutchison, Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Nevada. The governor was here earlier and said that this has been our finest hour as a state. It's been our finest hour as a city. It's been our finest hour, I think, among our finest hours as Americans.
You know, you think, and think about Vegas. What is Vegas? What happens there stays there. You know, you go there to get drunk, blow some money, go to a strip club, maybe hire a hooker. Yesterday, we found out what is really behind the city of Las Vegas.
If you were taken into UMC Medical Center, the trauma center there, and you were alive, you're still alive today. You're still alive at this hour.
100% success rate when they got into the hospital.
The amount of skill and professionalism that was shown by those doctors and those nurses and those medical professionals is extraordinary. It's something that we can be very, very proud of. Same is true if you went to Spring Valley Hospital. If you were alive, you're still alive.
Wow.
Could not be prouder of those men and women who saved so many lives in Las Vegas today and who have saved so many lives in Las Vegas last night. As I went into these hospital rooms throughout the day, as many of my friends and colleagues behind me, and they are my friends and colleagues, and they are true Nevadans and true Americans, they heard the same stories that I did. These heroic efforts of ordinary people from all over this country. And I'll tell you how personal it is. I just came from Spring Valley Hospital, and there Karen was injured seriously and was carried away from the scene. And she said, if I ever had a chance to thank this individual, would I please thank him? His name's Sean Topper, who carried her from the scene. And she said, if you get a chance to ever get a hold of him or reach him, let him know that I made it. And she was, she said that he was her guardian angel that day. And we saw and heard story after story like this. Ordinary Americans helping other ordinary Americans. It's a great day for America. Yeah. It's a very sad day for Las Vegas, my hometown. A tragedy beyond words. But this was the day when Americans helped Americans make it through the night. And I say God bless them all.
Amen. Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself, to be quite honest. And I don't think I would have been able to, because that man lived in the middle of it, and I did not. There's a guy, young guy being interviewed. I think this was on either Fox News or CNN, named Taylor Benge. Taylor Benge talked a little bit about what happened, and then what happened to him spiritually.
My sister and I, we started running to the left, and every time they shot, we took cover because, you know, you don't want to be the one guy who's just standing up running, because for all we knew, that would just make us a target. But my sister, you know, being as noble as she is, she actually threw herself on top of me and was saying, I love you, Taylor, I love you. And I'll never forget that. But
wow.
We didn't know we were safe until, like, we were sitting in the McCarran, one of their hangars almost.
That's the airport, of course.
A car almost ran through the gate just to get on the runway, just to get away from that location. Because as far as we knew, there was multiple gunners, and we didn't know which direction they were coming from. And the employees at the time weren't letting us in because they didn't know what was going on.
Didn't know what was going on. Yeah, you know, it was abject chaos. You don't just let people into the airport. You know, I mean, look at what airports are as far as security is concerned. Now, this is what happened to him spiritually during this event.
You can't really, you just got to take it to God at that point and, you know, hope that you can make it and hope that you're safe. And I know I can't speak for everyone, but for me, I'm just, you know, I was agnostic going into that concert, and I'm a firm believer in God now, because there's no way that, you know, all that happened and that I made it and I was blessed enough to still be here alive talking to you today.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Taylor Benge, that's the young man who was saved the other night. His sister, that was a pretty interesting story, right? Thanks, sis. Appreciate that. Oh, there's some craziness too, by the way, and some of it comes from the right. Here's Alex Jones' take on the shooter.
Here's the big news. Islamic State is taking responsibility.
How do you just listen to his voice? I mean, honestly, Alex Jones, how do you just listen to that voice? I mean, it's bad enough that he's bat crap crazy, but that voice.
And the man known by the police for issues, I guess mental illness, had reportedly converted to Islam in the last 2 months. And even though that's being reported by Reuters and others, you're not seeing it on CNN or MSNBC. We've been tracking it. Maybe I missed it. But that's pretty big news, isn't it? Now, let's stop right there. Who was allied with ISIS and Al-Qaeda during the entire last 6 years of the Arab Spring? Well, Al Gore called for an Arab Spring here in America.
Okay. It would be easy for me just to do conspiracy theories and just throw out stuff there that has no credibility and ultimately is proven wrong to get ratings. And if that's what you want to do, that's really cool. And then if you have a court case where you're being divorced by your wife and then you lie and you say that this is all just an act that you're doing, and maybe it is, Alex Jones. If it is, by God, you deserve an Oscar because you play crazy really, really well. I saw that story the other day about him being a Muslim convert, and my immediate thought was, not likely. 64-year-old white guy. Not likely. There have been a lot of things that have come out, and that it's been disproven. But Alex Jones, he marches forward. He takes anything he can off the web, and it's immediate truth. And if he has to retract it, he will retract it. And if he has to just avoid it and pretend like he never even said it, he does that too. But crazy people love his show. I just can't stand his voice, and I really don't care for his content. But he's obviously doing things better than me because he's a very wealthy man. Representative Al Green has decided this would be a bad time to impeach Donald Trump. He's a Democrat from Texas. He was going to impeach Donald Trump about a week ago. He delivered an impassioned speech on the floor with the latest excuse for impeaching Donald Trump, and there's a different one every week. Here he is taking impeachment off of the table.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, our nation is in mourning. Many hearts are bleeding. Mr. Speaker, there is much suffering. Lives have been lost in a senseless, needless manner in Las Vegas. Mr. Speaker, there is a right time for all things.
Now, wait a minute. The Democrats are saying now's the right time for gun control, speak.
This is a time for our nation to mourn and for hearts to heal. Mr. Speaker, I announce that impeachment is postponed.
Ah, what a self-important little man.
Let us mourn. Let us heal. I yield back my time.
Guy really needs to shave up here. I mean, because, you know, his beard line, like, goes to his, just on his eyelid. Really needs to shave up here, if you've seen this guy. Well, that was big of him. You know, I'm going to go ahead and take that off the table. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to take everything off the table. We've still got to talk about gun control. I mean, you know, there's a time for mourning. Wait, during the time of mourning, we can talk about some things, but we can't talk about everything. That's what we're saying here. I was going to talk a little bit about gun control today, but I really don't feel like it. I think everybody's talking about it. I've been listening to talk radio, and I think you know how I feel about it. They use the emotional element of something like this that happens 1/10 of 1% of the time, and they use it to forward the feelings they have about the Second Amendment 365 days a year, but they won't say anything about it 365 days in the year. Because that's just black people. That's just, the black people who don't matter. 765 murders in Chicago in 2016. They're talking about the Ferguson effect, and it is real. A year after the city tallied 2,478, and a year before that, 411. This year, 457 so far. Chicago's annual murder rate jumped 86% in the space of 2 years. Chicago alone was responsible for 22% of the nationwide murder increase in 2016, and it's getting worse. Baltimore recorded 211 murders in 2014, a relatively peaceful year for the violence-plagued city. This year, the next year, homicides exploded 60%. Heather McDonald, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, has dubbed the phenomena the Ferguson effect. Agitation by groups like Black Lives Matter, encouraged by slanted media coverage, has led to a retrenchment among big city police forces. Street cops are so worried about being vilified by city leaders and the press, they're avoiding contact with the criminal element. Cops are backing off proactive policing in high crime minority neighborhoods, and criminals are becoming emboldened. This according, again, to Ms. McDonald. Having been told incessantly by politicians, the media, and Black Lives Matter that they are bigoted for getting out of their cars and questioning someone loitering on a drug corner at 2 a.m., many officers are just driving by. Killings have spiked in several cities that experienced rioting or significant protests against the police, like in Dallas, where 6 police officers were murdered. They recorded 171 murders in 2017, 47% increase since 2016. Police stops tumbled by more than 80% from November 2015 to January 2016. The 3-month decline in police activity, this is in Chicago, coincided with an intense period of scrutiny on the Chicago Police Department after a released video footage of the Laquan McDonald shooting. So there's shootings that are going on year-round. Nobody says anything about it. Black Lives Matter doesn't even say anything about it. Black Lives Matter doesn't say a thing about the largest number of black lives lost. Isn't that funny? I mean, not funny. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's move on to late night TV's take on this. I'm going to play a little bit of Jimmy Kimmel and some of the other talk show hosts. Here's Kimmel starting.
Well, hello, everyone. Here we are again in the aftermath of another terrible, inexplicable, shocking and painful tragedy, this time in Las Vegas, which happens to be my hometown and Cleto's hometown, Cleto Sr.'s hometown.
And listen, I appreciate his empathy. He's feeling what we all feel. Even gun owners feel this way. It's a senseless, awful, horrible tragedy, and we empathize with those people.
And as you know, at least 59 people are dead. Hundreds of people were wounded in what they say was the deadliest mass shooting in modern American history, coming about a year and a half after the previous deadliest mass shooting in modern American history in Orlando, where 49 people lost their lives. And of course, we pray for the victims and for their families and friends, and we wonder why, even though...
Now, there's your tribute to the victims and the praying, which, by the way, is what this entire monologue should have been about. But it ended up being 10 minutes of political stuff.
There's probably no way to ever know why a human being would do something like this to other human beings who are at a concert, having fun and listening to music. Jason Aldean was on stage. Luke Combs, who was here with us tonight, he played the show too. And obviously no one could have ever expected that something terrible would happen, but it did. A very sick person smuggled 17 guns into his hotel room and smashed out the windows, started firing indiscriminately from the 32nd floor into a crowd of 22,000 people across the street. And as a result of that, this morning, we have children without parents and fathers without sons, mothers without daughters. We lost 2 police officers. We lost a nurse from Tennessee. Yeah. A special ed teacher from a local school here in Manhattan Beach. And it's the kind of thing that it makes you want to throw up or give up. It's too much to even process.
Thank you.
All these devastated families who now have to live with this pain forever because one person with a violent and insane voice in his head managed to stockpile a collection of high-powered rifles and use them to shoot people. The guy was an accountant. He had no criminal record. His brother, who lives in Florida, seems totally shocked, genuinely dumbfounded. He said he saw no sign of any of this. The owner of the store that sold the killer some of the rifle said he passed the government-mandated background check when he was in the store. He wasn't on any
watch. By the way, fully automatic weapons are illegal, okay? They're blaming it on fully automatic weapons. They're illegal.
Watch list didn't seem to have been a religious or political extremists. Came out of nowhere. And because of that, because there weren't any of the usual signs, I've been reading comments from people who say this is terrible, but there's nothing we can do about it. But I disagree with that intensely, because of course there's something we can do about it. There are a lot of things we can do about it. But we don't, which is interesting, because when someone with a beard attacks us, we tap phones, we invoke travel bans, we build walls, we take every possible precaution to make sure it doesn't happen again. But when an American buys a gun and kills other Americans, then there's nothing we can do about that.
Now, this is where I start having a problem with Mr. Kimmel. Obviously, he's talking about radical Islam. White American gun owners don't commit 3,000 acts of terror around the world every year, using every mode of death possible, whether that be machetes and knives, whether that be tractor trailers, whether that be explosive vests, whether that be assault weapons, whether that be name 100 ways that radical Islam murders people around the world. That's why we react to that, because there are tells there. This guy offered no tells. Okay, so I'm gonna have to disagree with Mr. Kimmel. Starting with that, this is 0.1% of the shootings in this country. They are a rare incident caused by an unhinged person. 99.9% of people who own firearms like these use them peacefully. We'll do a little bit more late night television. Then I have some more sound I want to share with you. But it is all fairly mono. It's not monochromatic, but you know what I'm saying. Late night television, pretty much, it all has the same take on it, and that is gun control, gun control, gun control.
Right now, there are loopholes in the law that let people avoid background checks if they buy a gun privately from another party, if they buy a gun online or at a gun show.
And the bar is so low right now that Congress can be heroes by doing literally anything. Universal background.
They can be heroes by doing my bidding as Stephen Colbert and doing what I believe in. That makes them heroes.
Background checks, or come up with a better answer. Enforce Obama's executive order that denied mentally ill gun purchases.
That was very vague, by the way. And there are a lot of ways that people can manipulate the use of mental illness with regard to a firearm. Those who have clinical depression. Those who have possibly even ADD. Where does it stop as far as mental conditions are concerned?
Or a better answer. Reinstate the assault weapons ban. Or come up with a better answer. Anything but nothing.
See, this is lashing about, looking for an answer before we've had a time to digest what exactly happened. They're looking for a solution before the answer is there.
Nothing is cowardice.
Really.
Doing something will take courage.
Now, I come from a place where we don't have shootings at this frequency. So,
boy, they do have a lot of terrorist stabbings and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, and bombings on those triple-deck buses. Remember that a few years ago? Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. It's hard for me to fathom, but it should be hard for everyone to fathom. Gun violence should not be a staple of American life. Some say it's too early to talk about gun control. For those victims last night, it's far too late.
Oh, so just to keep track of the arguments, mass shooting, mass shooting, mass shooting, mass shooting, mass shooting, mass shooting. We have to take care of this hotel check-in issue. Oh, and by the way, just to give you an idea of how far away America is from actual gun control, this week, Congress is going to vote on deregulating gun silencers.
To Congress, I would just like to say, are there no steps we can take as a nation to prevent gun violence? Or is this just how it is and how it's going to continue to be? Because when you say, which you always say, now is not the time to talk about it, what you really mean is there is never a time to talk about it.
I really don't care what any of these people have to say. I didn't hear Conan, but nobody hears Conan anymore because nobody watches him. And I like him because he's a funny guy. There is no solution to this right now. Mad men, crazy people are going to find ways to kill people. And like I said, I think it's a shame that you use one big event to go after the agenda that is in your heart year-round, which is gun control and anti-Second Amendment. But it doesn't matter in all of these other instances. When it's one person or two person or three people at a time, it doesn't matter. It only matters when it's a bunch of people. So, you know, whatever for what it's worth. That's what late night television had to say about it. We are going to do a little Tom Petty stuff here coming up in a second. I did find some fascinating audio with regard to the Vegas shootings that I thought you should hear. This is police audio during the shooting itself, just to kind of give you an idea of the chaos.
What's going on, Jimmy? You're coming from upstairs in the Mandalay Bay. Upstairs, Mandalay Bay, halfway up. I see the shots coming from Mandalay Bay, halfway up.
159 SC, we have a rifle deployed. We're in front of Mandalay Bay. We're trying to see where the shots are coming from.
It sounds like it's either Mandalay or Luxor. We cannot tell.
I'm inside the Mandalay Bay on the 31st floor. I can hear the automatic fire coming from one floor ahead, one floor above us.
Control, I got one down, gunshot wounds to the leg. I also have another female, same traffic. She's been shot, looks like in the mouth.
We got about 40 to 50 people. We're pinned against this wall.
We have multiple victims shot fired right at the medical tent. We got one shot in the head. Please advise all units to have their vehicles locked. People are going into it trying to grab shotguns.
All units, make sure your vehicles are locked. Citizens are trying to grab shotguns.
Well, that's country music fans. And you know, I don't blame them. They didn't know where it was coming from. This is kind of interesting. A former Vegas police officer named Randy Sutton said in an interview that one of the reasons why the shooter was found in the hotel room, why they found it, the smoke detector.
The way the shooter was identified was not from the muzzle flashes, but the smoke detector in the room went off from the amount of smoke that came from firing that fully automatic weapon.
That is, to me, just amazing that the smoke detector did it. But it did take, and I've heard a bunch of different timelines and how long it took him to get it. Get the guy. But regardless, I think it goes without saying that there were so many heroes yesterday or the day before yesterday. And I hope that I've been able to at least make you realize some of that. And I'm sure others have. By the way, the Chiefs played last night. They played against the Redskins, and there were several players. Marcus Peters, number 22, sitting down during the national anthem. Linebacker, if I can't do the name, Ukemi Eligwe, they remained seated. This is, and John Houston, linebacker, knelt in prayer, apparently. This was a night to forget that. This was a night to forget the lie that is wholesale murder of black men by the police. This was a time to recognize that people of all colors, creeds, were saved by the police, and police died while doing it. So this was inappropriate, and this is a typical self-serving, it's all about me kind of mentality of millennials. Many millennials, not all of them. Don't get me wrong. If you're a millennial, I'm sure that you're watching the show, and you're cool. Paula Voss was at the game last night, said, number 22, you're sitting during the anthem. Seems pretty petty in the light of the Vegas shootings. Jeff Rosen said, man, can't get behind Marcus Peters and Ukemi Eligwe. Sitting tonight, no, sir, not tonight. I supported the players protesting injustice since day one. Today, my sadness overwhelms that support. By the way, Monday Night Football ratings down pretty dramatically. Once again, 10% from the Cowboys and Cardinals game September the 25th. So people are mad about it. 80% of Americans think y'all stand during the national anthem. Last night was the night to do it. Last night was the night to do it, and they didn't do it. So what do you do? Oh, I do want to mention something. And I watched most of the game. Something cool happened last night. Sports note, and I'm not a big sports dude. But a young kicker came out of nowhere and kicked three field goals successfully. Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker. It was his first time. And it was interesting because he came out and the first his first field goal attempt was 46 and he missed it. So his first kick in the National Football League was a failure. Then he kicked three more, including the game-winning field goal for the Chiefs. Pretty cool. It kind of reminded me of Kareem Hunt, who was a running back for the Chiefs. And his first game with the Chiefs this year, which they won, he started with his first fumble. And he hadn't had any fumbles in college. His first run was a fumble. He dropped the ball. Then he went on to have the most rushing yards in the history of a rookie running back. Pretty cool. I thought that was pretty cool and worth mentioning. Tom Petty is no longer with us.
You've got something really good and nobody else knows it, but you know they're gonna know it.
Baby, break down. Go ahead, give it to me. She was an American girl. She's gonna listen to her heart. You need to know.
Oh, man.
Free falling, and I won't back down. I run down the drain. You wreck me, baby. Yeah, you break me in two.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I was thinking about Tom Petty, and if you could say anything about Tom Petty, I would consider his sound to be quintessentially American. That's what I thought of when I thought of his music. And then I think about his songs over the years were the soundtrack of my life. Of my life. I think he started, his first big hit was when I was in eighth grade. And it carried me through summers, and it carried me through relationships. Pretty amazing stuff. And I'm not a huge Petty fan. But his music was quintessentially American. Here are the last two songs Tom Petty ever played. Close out his last concert of his 40th anniversary tour with the Heartbreakers last Monday at the Hollywood Bowl. Here's a little bit of it. God bless you. Good night. God bless you. Good night. I didn't know that there was a documentary called Running Down a Dream, Tom Petty. And when I was a little boy, Elvis Presley was my idol. I was a latecomer to it. I was a little kid as he was dying towards the last end of his life. And Tom Petty actually met Elvis. Here's a little bit of that.
I must have been 10 or 11 years old. My aunt came over and said, Elvis Presley is making a movie, and your uncle's working on the picture, and I thought maybe you'd like to go down one day and watch the filming, see Elvis. Elvis appeared like, you know, a vision. He didn't look like anything I'd ever seen, and I'm just dumbstruck. And my uncle said, you know, Elvis, this is my family, this is my nephew, and Elvis kind of, and moved on, you know. I went home a changed man. When I hit the street the next day, I was trying to find some Elvis Presley records.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
The music just hypnotized me. And I played these records to the point my parents began to worry that something was wrong with me. I'm in about the fifth grade. and I'm playing 1950s records, and it's all I want to talk about. Even the other kids thought it was weird. I didn't have the faintest dream of being a musician or anything like that. Oh. I just love to listen to it.
The same thing happened to me when I was a kid, and I'm 15 years younger than Tom Petty. I did the same thing, and I used to dance to his music. I used to actually act out the entire 1973 Aloha from Hawaii concert. I knew every bit of inflection of his voice. I knew when I wasn't singing it right. I wanted to be an Elvis impersonator. Ultimately, I ended up getting into show business and talk radio and comedy writing and what I do, I think because of Elvis Presley. Elvis Presley and my mom. So anyway, Tom Petty, God bless you, man. Hell of a run and was too damn short. You shouldn't have passed away at 66 years old, but you were the soundtrack of a lot of lives, my brother. Guys, want to thank you for watching today. It's been a, and listening, by the way. Greatly appreciated. If you would consider, and this includes you guys who are listening on the podcast, consider becoming a member of LibertyOneTV.com, $10 a month subscription, annual subscription, $99 a year, Producers Club, $1,000 a year. A lot of people are spending money on traditional broadcast media, and a lot of that money could be better spent in the new media, and I think it would be well spent for you, okay? Make sure to download the podcast, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Play, Google Plus, Player FM, all of those. Just look for Rob Carson Show. Want to thank Dr. Alex Nelson, sponsor of the radio program, fountainoflifecairo.com, fountainoflifecairo.com, also Grass Monsters KC. Grass Monsters KC is, they do power equipment, Dixie Chopper and Hustler mowers, and they're incredible. 5520 Raytown Road, Raytown Mow. In the meantime, there are still a lot of people suffering in Vegas, a lot of people suffering in Puerto Rico, and keep them in your prayers, okay? In the meantime, thank you guys for listening and watching. I greatly appreciate it. God bless, and we will see you back here for episode number 180. See you then, guys.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.